Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Maglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. With over 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience, Tom is also a Crown Ministries budgeting coach as well as a business and church consultant. We would love to hear from you. You can call in for a consultation. The initial consultation is at no charge, 800-386-3700, or visit us online, theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up for our quarterly newsletter, pick up a copy of Tom's latest book, The Economy of God, and you can download past shows, which we have a ton of.
Yep.
And we are in a brand new series right now.
Yep.
This is the perfect time of year to be talking about financial contentment.
Yep.
Tom, how are you?
Yep. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good, thanks.
Yeah. Today is program three on the Anchor for Contentment of a 12-week series on contentment. And how about today if I recite 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17?
You're tired of me butchering it?
No, not at all. I just think I'm challenging my son Jonathan to see who knows it better.
Okay, let's hear your version.
I have to practice it.
Okay.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Very good, very good, very good.
Yay, all right. Now, today, Reba, we're back into 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10, dissecting the concept of contentment.
Mm.
Our economic principle, of course, is about contentment. And anchor four that we take from the book, Knowing the Economy of God, also on contentment. So since today is program three of a 12-week series, why don't you go ahead and read again for all the listeners, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10.
Here we go. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those that desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful desires, which drown men into destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have wandered from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows.
Wow. Is that a jam-packed
It is.
Piece of scripture? And that is seriously heavy.
It is.
Really is.
It is.
And that's why, again, as a financial planner, so many people fall into financial problems, ruin, and relationship destruction. Most of it is because of a lack of contentment in some part of their finances, their personal walk with God, and then pouring over to their relationship, either with their spouse or other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Reba, today's economic principle, based on that scripture, we talked about some of it last week. We'll continue on with more sentences. The desire to be rich, Reba, and the love of money is the sin or the root problem.
Wow.
Not being rich or the state of being wealthy or having money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the sin. It's the love of money, the desire to be rich. That's the sin. And that in turn causes people to fall into a snare and many problems, many kinds of traps.
Mm-hmm.
That also in turn, Reba, brings people down for the fall, messing up relationships, killing relationships like marriages, like relationships between children and parents. And then that in turn causes regret and sadness or sorrow resulting from the original sin of greed and the love of money and the pursuing of riches. So give us your thought there.
Well, first off, talking about contentment, which is the fourth anchor in your book, it makes me think of the other three because to me they're so progressive.
Right.
The first one is God is the owner, not us.
Right.
The second is we're stewards. The third is to give generously.
Right.
And then the fourth is contentment.
Right.
And so when I hear the desire to be rich and the love of money is the root problem of sin, I realize why it would be the root problem.
Exactly.
Because if you're desiring money and you love money, then are you really thinking of this money as God's?
Exactly. No.
Are you really thinking you're just the steward of it?
No.
Are you really wanting to give it generously?
You're right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well put. Those first three anchors are all not happening.
Right.
Because we're thinking, it's our money. We won't give any away. stewards for ourselves for our own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
No such thing as contentment. So mm-hmm. you're right. They've blown the first three anchors.
Sure.
And that's why anchor four is so extra difficult. And when I look at this, Reba, it says in verse 10, wandering from the faith.
Mm.
That means somebody already had the faith, otherwise they couldn't have wandered from it.
So this is something that even we as believers could fall into.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Because it wouldn't say wandering from the faith if you didn't have the faith to wander from in the first place.
Right.
And the devil is deceiving that individual, because the road that you wander to is where the enemy's got the hook, the deception.
Mm-hmm.
And the greed is the road sign, let's say,
mm-hmm.
like a stop sign. It's a road sign. Greed is the road sign that alters one's course off the right path towards God and righteousness to ruin. And that's what's taking place here, Reba. This is what's happening, okay? People are saying, I'm not happy with God.
Mm-hmm.
God isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have more. The status, the title, the job, the marital status, the money, the mm-hmm. wealth, whatever it is that's going to fill my cup, fill my boat, and fill my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's what people do. And that's why in my 28 years, I've seen so many individuals who did have it right in the first place, but they wandered from, what they had in the first place.
It's real easy, especially when you don't have money, to throw stones at people who do that. But then as soon as you know, you have to put yourself in their place and say, gosh, how tempting would that be?
Yep.
If you really did have a lot of money.
Right.
Or, you know, my mom always says that poor people can love money more than rich people because they don't have it.
Right.
They desire it more.
Right.
Sometimes poor people can desire money more than rich people because
Good
they
point.
Don't have it.
That's a very good point.
So it could work either way.
And in the shows to come, we'll talk about some verses in Philippians that Paul talks about being content, whether well-fed or hungry.
Abound or base.
Right. And I'll explain more about that in the programs coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at this, Reba, the desire, the want, the must-have, that's the problem.
That's hard. Our American dream is to be rich.
Well, and that's why the book and God's economy is not for Americans, by the way. It was written for all Christians mm-hmm. in any country of mm-hmm. the world.
Mm-hmm.
Our book we wrote was not for Americans. It's for believers that call Jesus Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
It's for believers.
Because there's nothing wrong with having the house, the kids,
That's
the
right.
picket fence.
Right.
But it's desiring the things and the money.
Right. Well, let's read it again.
Okay.
The love of money, Reba.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. The love of
the
money.
The love of money.
That's not the love of
wow.
God or your husband or your children.
Wow.
It's the love of?
Money.
Money. Does that say money's the root of sin
no.
and evil?
Uh-uh.
No. It's the love of money.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
It says here the root of all kinds of evil.
It makes sense because God looks at the heart. And it's saying the love of money. He's looking at what your heart desires. He's not looking at do you have money or do you not have money.
Right.
He's looking at what do you love.
Exactly. And he's not saying money, which is a currency, it's a form of exchange, it's a unit of buying or selling things. That is not, it's a metal or
like
a piece of paper.
Like he owns all of it, like he cares.
Right. But he
he's
knows
like,
our
I made
hearts.
All of it. What do I care?
Exactly.
Right.
But when that takes the place of God,
mm-hmm.
which Exodus 20, verse 3, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no false gods before me. First commandment, that blows up that. So that's why the love of money is not the love of God.
Mm.
And Jesus said you cannot serve both him, God,
and
money.
Wow.
So it's clear here, and we need to check our pursuits. Now, we have a break coming up, but I want people to think about 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10.
Yeah. So, It's such a thick passage. I can see why we're taking 12 weeks
yep.
to go over this.
Yes.
There's so much material
so
here.
So much.
Now, after the break, we're going to talk about application.
Right.
We're going to put this into the recipe?
Absolutely. We're going to do application. Let's get rolling on it. I'm ready for it. Application will define contentment, have the prayer of change, and a story.
All right. Fantastic. So you're listening to the Knowing the Economy of God. We'd love for you to go to our website, theeconomyofgod.com. You can sign up for the quarterly newsletter. You can download podcast. I just got an iPod Shuffle.
What?
For Christmas.
What's that mean?
It's MP3 player. Uh-huh. And so you can download shows onto your MP3 player and listen to them while you're walking or jogging or if you're at the mall or whatever you're doing in your life.
Okay, is that a good thing?
That's a really good thing. Okay. That's a really good thing. So go online and see all the resources that are available. And please do call Tom with your financial questions and your financial situations. The number is 800-386-3700. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, ladies. Reba Tony here. I hope you're enjoying our show today. I want to share with you a great seminar that your host, financial advisor, and money coach, Tom Maglia, will be presenting to women only. And of course, I will be there. I'll be emceeing. The event is called Women of Value, A Woman of Worth, Desiring Excellence in 2007. This is Ladies Only Conference held Saturday, February 3rd, 2007 at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena. And the cost, only $65 for the entire day. Tom will present The Economy of God, four anchor principles for life, as well as coach you on how to create a budget and spending plan. The day will include a special luncheon, fashion show, free raffle drawing prizes, and a wonderful gift package for all who attend. And ladies, there's so much more. Women's life coach Michelle Detman will be sharing a godly seminar, Christian women's life coaching tips for ladies of all ages and all marital statuses. Also, Karen Long, a former Emmy-nominated TV reporter, will be speaking on investing in relationships and thoughts about extreme marriage makeover. She's got a new book. It's out. It's called If You Don't Die to Self, I May Have to Kill You. How funny is that? Come listen to Karen give a refreshing view on God and marriage. Call Tom at 800-386-3700 for more information or go to the website and sign up now at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Meet me, Reba Tony, at the seminar. I'll be hosting the entire day along with special worship music that will warm all of our hearts for the Lord. Again, the number is 1-800-386-3700. Ladies, space is limited, so register now online at theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up, get more information, details today. That's www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you then.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Maglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God, and we're here with Tom Maglia and myself, Reba Tony. We are looking at a godly contentment that you can have in 2007, even if you didn't have it in 2006, even if you never had it. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people like that, huh, Tom?
Exactly. Now, let's go ahead and continue on contentment. Why don't you read the definition from Webster's Dictionary, Reba, of contentment? I'll read Webster's Dictionary of Discontented.
All right. Contentment, satisfaction with one's status or material possessions in life, satisfaction with a situation, freedom of care or discomfort, the state of being contented.
Right. And I'll read discontented.
Okay.
Dissatisfaction with one's situation, lacking in possessions or material position of life, sense of grievance. Restless aspiration for improvement.
I love that.
One who is discontented. And I would say, add something to that, one who wants to be in control, who's not in control.
Wow.
Discontented because they're not in control. Hmm. And that can drive a person crazy.
Sure.
And in your definition, or Webster's, on contentment, Reba, it says freedom of discomfort or care. And that's really important. That's one of the ways you can know or discover whether or not you're content. Hmm. If you feel comfortable, you don't have this restlessness, freedom of being discomforted. Those are feelings or emotions or signals that should show up in your heart and your mind that you may be already content or may be on the path or the work in progress towards contentment. Now, all of us have to learn contentment. Just when you become a Christian, you're not just all of a sudden content.
Mm-hmm.
It's a work in progress. It's a learned response to God's will, God's command. Mm-hmm. It takes time, testing, practice. You don't just become content. Mm-hmm. It takes work. And one thing about application I'd like to share with you, Reba, and the audience, is that this question, let me ask a few questions to all of us, myself included, okay? Is Jesus enough for us to be content? Next, what about Exodus 3:20, where God says, no false gods or other gods before me? What about this? Is the root sin of greed power or esteem? In other words, someone who's greedy and wants money, greedy for money. Have you ever wondered, okay, why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the reasons is because people like to be in power. Some people want power because it builds their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
It builds their personal value as a person.
Isn't that funny how that to me is always astounding how we do all of these things ultimately so we can feel loved.
Yes. And feel and convince ourselves maybe, Reba, that we are God. To be a mini God is I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anything else. Money is power. Money is control.
Mm-hmm.
I can move things with money. And in society, that's pretty true. But it's Satan's lie.
Yeah.
And we must not bite on the bait on the hook.
And there are so many hooks and so much bait out there. It seems like every direction I turn, the world is kind of shoving its philosophy down my throat.
Oh, totally. They're challenging you, basically saying, this is what is, prove it's not.
Or, yeah, exactly.
We're going to take you on.
Exactly.
We're going to take
it
you on.
It feels that way. It's all going the opposite of contentment.
Oh, yeah. And not only are they challenging, they're throwing it at us.
I mean, I can't even be happy with my dish liquid because there's a new and improved better one out there.
Right. Always.
It's just dish liquid. Come on.
I know. But you're not content with that, so go get theirs.
Yeah, you got to get the new next one.
Well, they play into our feelings or emotions. And that's why I want people to think about this, Reba, because they act out a lot of this with their finances, which in turn mess up relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, question again, are these pursuits Paul talks about worth it? Is it worth wandering from the faith, Reba? Tom, okay, what's the risk of wandering from the faith? Well, let me tell you, okay, Proverbs 16:25, Reba, says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction.
There's a way that seems right to a whole community,
right,
to a country,
right,
to the world.
Right. But in the end it leads to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask this, are these pursuits Paul talks about worth it? Is it worth wandering from the faith, pursuing money and greed and status and these kind of things?
Mm-hmm.
What's the risk? The risk is losing your walk with Christ. Is that worth it?
No, it's not. Because you'll never find contentment that way. It's been done. It's been tried. We have a whole list of wealthy celebrities who have ultimately committed suicide.
Right.
Because they didn't find what they were looking for.
Well, they found it. What they were looking for, they couldn't find where they were trying to fill themselves up.
Yeah.
It couldn't do what it couldn't do.
When they finally got their hands on what they thought they wanted.
Right.
They realized it could not perform. It could not do what they expected.
That's right. But they pursued it to the end, thinking that it could.
Yes.
And when you throw everything in that way and then it doesn't happen, you're in for a huge letdown. Now, Reba, let me say something about a lady, a story for you.
Okay.
I'll use her name, Elaine. That's not her real name, but she's 68 years old, divorced and bitter. Her husband left her. Not for anybody else. He just didn't feel like being married anymore at 71.
Oh my gosh.
He was kind of had dementia and things. Well, she sold lots of real estate that she got through the divorce before the big California boom of recent times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She sold her real estate back in the mid to late 90s. Now she's loaded and filled with regret because she knows the real estate market went way up, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s up to now. And really, she has a lot of hate towards her ex-husband. She has a lot of bitterness and regret. She keeps asking, why? Why did God allow this and all of this? She is a mental mess because she's putting everything on circumstances. She says, Tom, how can I be content look what I did. I shouldn't have sold all that real estate. I lost thousands of potential dollars by selling my real estate. Uh-huh. How can I be content after all of that? The divorce, everything. Mm-hmm. She's a very troubled person.
Yeah.
And the answer is, you have to go back to your first love. What's your first love?
Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
She wandered.
Yeah,
she let the circumstances mess her up, and they were tough, of course, but she let them mess her up. She needs to go back to God, confess all that.
Mm-hmm.
Those things can't make her happy anyway. She can't take them with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's 68. Her needs are still met. So there's things even elderly people can do who think, oh, it's too late for me. It's never too late. The Word of God is not too late, Reba.
You know, my favorite part of that story is when you said that she was upset because she lost thousands in potential money.
Right.
She made money.
Yes.
on the real estate.
Right.
She made exorbitant amounts of money.
She did.
But she was discontent in the potential money that she lost.
Right. The opportunity that she could have had.
And that just makes me think, you know, there are situations in my own life where I have heartache over potential loss.
Right.
Because I didn't actually even see it played out. I have no idea. I can't say that there was an actual loss. But you think in your mind
right.
that there was this all this potential that you lost.
Right.
When in fact, we don't know that.
Right.
We don't know what would have happened had she held on to those properties.
That's right.
We don't know.
Something evil or terrible could have happened that she's not aware of.
If everybody would have held on to their properties, we certainly wouldn't have had the boom. And people selling is what started to generate the boom.
Right. And her heart is so troubled. And that's the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
She's so troubled.
Mm-hmm.
She can get back on a right plane or right level, but she needs to go back to God and quit thinking about what she lost. She's kind of glad the husband's gone, but not the real estate. All the money she could have made. She would have been up another $300,000 to $400,000.
Easy.
But Reba, that's not the biggest, most important thing to her.
Right.
And that's why God is, you know, trying to reach her.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, and she's still bitter. And see, that's where we need to say, Lord, my happiness is not in money,
mm-hmm.
in your economy. My happiness in your economy, God, is through Jesus Christ. Let's pray, Reba.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you for your word, 1 Timothy 6:6-10. Teach us, Lord. You're the teacher, Father God, to be content. We're all works in progress, Lord. We need you or we will never be content. Help us, Lord, not to trust in money or property or status, but you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Having money and managing your assets is not the root of evil. Loving that money or those assets and desiring to be rich is what the Bible talks about is the root of all kinds of evil. You want to make sure that your money is in perspective and that as you increase, your relationship with God doesn't decrease. You need a godly financial planner. Call Tom Meglia. Take this number down, 800-386-3700. You've got a plan for retirement, children's education, reduce tax liability, invest for special situations. These are all things that all of us need to think about. Tom's got more than 28 years of experience. Call him today, 800-386-3700. We'll see you next time.
Been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. Thank you.